or if you're just joining us, good morning, good morning, good morning. William Horsley. Yes, Bill will present Made in Connecticut Reflections on the Industrial Age, a presentation that's going to be taking place in the Church of the Good Shepherd at 155 Willis Street in Hartford. Admission absolutely free. It's going to be Saturday, March 24th at 1 o'clock.
Andy's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Bill, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Hey, good morning.
It's going to be quite a thing. How about explaining to our audience, Made in Connecticut, Reflections on the Industrial Age?
Well, you know, Connecticut was really a powerhouse in the Industrial Revolution in terms of all the different things that were manufactured here. It's been said that if you walked into a hardware store 100 years ago, half the products on the shelves were Connecticut made, and we made all kinds of things. So it's really the story of an era when Connecticut was a force for making things.
Wow. And again, can you imagine the sales during that time? I mean, these were American originals, weren't they?
Well, yeah, and I think almost everything. I mean, it's hard to imagine today most of the things we buy are made somewhere else, China or wherever. 100 years ago, most of the things we bought were made, in Connecticut or New England. And 100 years before that, most of the things were made locally. So there's been this gradual move toward globalization, I guess. But, it's fascinating. And every town in Connecticut produced something. And everyone you knew was involved, you know, pretty much directly or indirectly in making something. So Connecticut, that was what we were famous for, Yankee ingenuity.
Bill, what was it about Connecticut which made it fertile ground for all of these items to be manufactured here?
Well, great question. I think initially part of it had to do with water, if you can believe it, that Connecticut has three major river sheds that go north-south. In the east, it's the Thames, you know, the Setucket Corridor, and in the center, it's the Connecticut River, and in the west, it's, Housatonic and the Western River. So that there was, into each of these major watersheds, there are lots of little streams that had little waterfalls that could initially generate power. So that Connecticut had the advantage of water power. That then it also had the advantage of proximity to major markets, New York, Boston, and once the railroads came, it really, really took off. And so from small beginnings along little riversides, you know, with little waterfalls powering small operations, came these giant industries in many cases that made things, again, like, you know, guns, hardware. You think of the names of some of our Connecticut cities. You know, Wallingford is Silver City. New Britain is the hardware city. Hartford, you know, made guns. Bristol made clocks. These are identities that shaped, were shaped by the economies of manufacturing.
And, you know, one of the things also that is fascinating to me is nearby Springfield, because you got the Springfield Armory, the National Historic Site, is located there way back in 1794, right up to 1968, and actually established by George Washington.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, and they're the sponsors of this series, and I'm working with them because, as Brad, I'm sure you know, the National Park Service is developing a branch park with the Springfield Armory in Hartford that is being developed around Coltsville. So those two parks will be co-administered, and presently the Springfield National Park Office is doing programming. They have summer tours in Coltsville, and then they're sponsoring this series. And we're trying to get, you know, people engaged with this subject area. And it's, you know, it's not just guns, it's not just Sam and Elizabeth Colt. It's so many facets. I mean, really, the firearms industry in Hartford was the leading edge that turned Hartford into a manufacturing center, and it wasn't just guns. I mean, Hartford made all kinds of stuff too. So, and I think the fun thing about this presentation is I've amassed a really huge inventory of pictures, images of the things that were made in Connecticut, and some of the places where they were made, so that it'll be kind of almost a travelogue of Connecticut manufacturing.
Now, how long is it going to take? This is fabulous, I think, what you're doing. This is what we've needed. This is what we've needed in the state for a long, long time.
Well, no kidding. And, you know, we all live in these towns, and I know, Brad, you and I have met. I live in Enfield. You were from Enfield.
That's so right.
And you may, I don't want to embarrass you, you may be old enough to remember when they still made carpets in Enfield.
Wow.
The Bigelow Sanford Carpet Company.
There we go. Well, that was Enfield's hook, was incredible, the carpet industry. But, you know, it's, I think people today don't even know the history of their own localities. And I think that if you want people to feel a connection to one another and to their place, it helps to know a little bit of that local history.
Talking with Bill Hosley, and he's going to be presenting Made in Connecticut, Reflections on the Industrial Age, and it's going to be on Saturday, March 24th at 1 p.m., and it will be presented at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Hartford. Admission is free. And, Bill, the presentation, are you going to use slides?
Oh, yes.
It's obviously going to be a visual presentation.
It's a PowerPoint, and I have, again, wonderful visual images, so it'll be richly illustrated. It'll be fun in that way. And, you know, the Church of the Good Shepherd, for people that haven't been there, it's actually going to be in the parish house right next door. But just as a architectural masterpiece, it is, you know, designed by the same architect as the Mark Twain House, and it's just takes your breath away. It's one of the most beautiful buildings in Hartford. So it'll be a fun place to do this.
Well, as you know, Bill, even our factories in Connecticut, some of them were designed so well. Look at the Colt Building as an example.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And one of my favorites is the Ponoma Mill in the Taftville section of Norwich, which, you know, is like a cathedral. It's the most beautiful thing. And, it's really quite a history. And the more you open your eyes to it, the more evidence there is on the ground. But, of course, we lost a lot of, you know, in the 70s and, well, even before that, but World War II was still kind of a boom era for manufacturing in Connecticut. But in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, a lot of these companies, you know, either moved south or they moved out. And you know, we do different things today. We have an economy based on finance and services, and it's different. But, you know, and the water's cleaner, I'm sure. But you know, there's something to be missed, I think, in having the pride of place that comes with knowing that your town is the master of the universe of some product.
William Hosley, yes, 1 o'clock, March 24th, Saturday, March the 24th. How long now? The people come down, they'll go through all of this. How long will this be presented? It's going to be an hour and a half?
Yeah, probably about an hour. Yeah, sure. It's, you know, normal length of a feature presentation like that. So yeah, about an hour, and have a little reception afterwards. And you know, the first in the series, this is part of a four-part series, and we've done two, and we did one in Springfield. This will be the second in Hartford, and the last one in the series in May is also going to be in Springfield. And they're different topics, but the previous program had a really good turnout, and it was fun. I mean, I always love meeting people that turn out for these things, and we visit and talk about, you know, some of the subjects brought up in the presentation. Good conversation comes out of it. It's a nice social thing, too.
You know, Bill, when you think of the area, when you think of Hartford and Springfield, the tale of two cities.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, when you study both of these cities, you realize what we really had.
Yeah, and the two really, I mean, it's are so tied together, linked together historically. And I mean, I think even today, you know, we share an interstate highway, we share an airport, we share a river, certainly, and I think there is, and now we're going to share these two national parks. And I think, you know, Hartford Spring, I mean, I love the Connecticut Valley, and I think that we don't do enough to promote ourselves. I mean,
right.
As I travel around other parts of the country, I am constantly seeing places that have less than we do that do a lot more with it.
Just the church where Mark Twain used to go. And you go into that church and you flash back. Can you imagine with these folks in this city when they were, what a spectacular place it was?
Oh, yeah. And the wealth, the sophistication, the worldliness. And I think, it's you don't have to be the scale of New York or even Boston to have tremendous assets and distinctiveness. And I love Hartford for that region. I mean, we all struggle with the normal challenges of the 21st century, but I still think the glass is half full and that we can do so much more. I've been, as you may know, a big promoter of, I think tourism matters because it gets even the local people thinking a little bit more about who they are and where they come from.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But in terms of tourism, I mean, we leave millions of dollars on the table every year in Hartford by not doing enough with that. And it's not about money. It doesn't cost a lot of money to do the right things. But we need, I would love to say live long enough to see a political regime in Hartford that really took this issue seriously, because we've never had one.
Hey, Bill, this is interesting, the industrial age and all, and you kind of touched on it when you mentioned it started to go downhill, the 50s, 60s, 70s. Is there like a defined period, latter 19th century to the 1940s, end of World War II? What specifically is the industrial age?
Well, in the United States, I mean, in Europe it happened a little earlier, in England, but in the United States, the industrial age really begins after the American Revolution and really kicks into gear in the 1830s. In fact, 1830s is when, actually the carpet factory in Enfield was earlier than Colt, earlier than a lot of this stuff. That was in the 18, might have even been late 20s. And so 1830s, and then it really is just exploding in the 1850s, just a booming era. And then after the Civil War and the Gilded Age, so from basically 1850 to 1970, you could say, would be the high water mark of the industrial age in Connecticut.
And was it because, obviously, the technology had advanced so that we could start, if not mass producing, at least easily, or making it easier to produce some of these items?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of it was machine-based manufacturing. So they went, in the colonial times and prior to 1830, things were made in small, people always made things, people got off the boat in 1640, and they still had to build their houses and make furniture and things. But it was small shop craftsmen. It was like small-scale manufacturing, local. And it was really the machine age that brought the industrial revolution forward. And that was, the machine. In fact, Hartford actually specialized. Pratt & Whitney was part of that, specialized in making the machines that made other things. And that was the top of the food chain. If you could manufacture the technology, it was kind of like making computers, It was, and it gave the Connecticut Valley tremendous economic prestige. I mean, all you have to do is look at Hartford. It's so obvious how rich the city was.
Oh.
And the money that was being made, you look at our capital, and you look at, the Richardson Building and the Mark Twain House and some of the Wadsworth Avenue and some of the beautiful architecture in the city, and it's obvious that this was not a poor town.
So, wow.
Bill, you have to tell you, you've done an awful lot, and I know the 24th of March, Saturday the 24th, 1 p.m., is going to be something made in Connecticut, a reflection on the industrial age. And it's going to be at the Church of the Good Shepherd at 155 Willis Street in Hartford. Admission is absolutely free.
Oh, this is terrific.
Yeah. Brad, thank you so much.
Bill, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thanks, Dan.
You take care. Wow.
This is, huh?
It's, you know,
it
history.
It kind of makes you different, doesn't it? Brad, and just talking about it.
Well, it makes you feel prideful.
Yes,
I mean, you think
yes.
about it. To walk into a hardware store anywhere in the United States in 1880, and half of the products on those shelves were manufactured in Connecticut.
Connecticut. Yeah.
We're talking about automobiles at some point even, machine tools, bicycles, iron bridges, hats, carpets, gravestones. He's right about the iron bridges. I'll never forget. I'm taking a walk in Binghamton, New York, and I go across this bridge, and I look up, and I've actually posted the picture on my Facebook page, and the bridge was made by the Berlin Bridge Company.
There you have it.
Berlin, Connecticut.
An iron bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is going to be just terrific, and we thank you, Bill.